Good morning and welcome to our press conference. My name is Tom Pelton and I'm Director of Communications at the Environmental Integrity Project. We're a nonprofit organization that acts as America's environmental watchdog, holding polluters and governments accountable to protect public health and the environment. Today, we will have five speakers to talk about the release of our new report, Terminal Trouble: Pollution Violations at America's LNG Export Terminals. You can find the report on our website at environmentalintegrity.org. After the speakers, I will open it up to reporters for a question and answer session. Reporters, we'd love to get your inquiries. So if a question occurs to you during the presentations, drop a brief note into the Q&A tab at the bottom of your screen with your name saying you have a question. And then when the presentations are over, I will unmute you. And then you have to remember to unmute yourself as well, and you can ask your question. Our speakers will be Alexander Shakevich, Research Manager for the Environmental Integrity Project and author of the report; Melanie Oldham, Director of Better Brazoria in Texas near the Freeport LNG terminal; John Allaire, retired oil and gas industry engineer who lives near the Calcasieu Pass LNG terminal in Southwest Louisiana; Rhiannon Scott, Executive Director of the Texas-based Coastal Watch Association near the Corpus Christi LNG terminal; and finally, James Hyatt, Executive Director of For a Better Bayou in Louisiana. So first we'll have Alexander Shakevich, Research Manager at the Environmental Integrity Project and author of the report. Go ahead, Alexandra.
Thank you, Tom, and thank you everyone for joining us here today. As many of you know, the liquefied natural gas industry is growing at a record pace. 33 projects to build or expand export capacity have been proposed in recent years, and together they could triple American exports of natural gas over the next decade. Since taking office in January, President Trump has aggressively promoted the liquefied natural gas industry, including by directing agencies to fast-track certain approvals for LNG projects, and by threatening foreign countries, including our allies, with steep tariffs if they do not buy American LNG. In the context of the industry's expansion and the Trump administration's attempts to speed up environmental permitting, we at EIP wanted to ask a simple question. How well are existing LNG export terminals in the United States complying with their pollution control permits? To answer this question, we examined the public records for all seven LNG export terminals that were fully operational at the end of 2024, and what we found was disturbing, but not at all surprising to the communities living next door to these facilities. All seven of the terminals violated their air pollution control permits at least once over the last 5 years, and three of them, the Sabine Pass, Calcasieu Pass, and Cameron LNG terminals, all located in southwestern Louisiana, have been in nearly continuous non-compliance with the Clean Air Act over the last 3 years, according to state and EPA records. We also found that five of the seven LNG terminals exceeded their water pollution control permits over this period, dumping illegal amounts of suspended solids, bacteria, heavy metals, and other pollutants into nearby waterways. Given the LNG industry's terrible compliance record, our conclusion is that state and federal agencies should be slowing down and more carefully scrutinizing new applications for LNG export projects, instead of speeding up permit reviews as the Trump administration has demanded as part of an alleged energy emergency. And in fact, there is no energy emergency, as the Trump administration has claimed. Oil and gas production has soared to record levels in recent years, as have wind and solar power generation. The United States is the largest producer of oil and the largest exporter of natural gas in the world. Given the LNG industry's poor record of environmental compliance, fast-tracking approvals for LNG export projects will only put the health of local communities, ecosystems, and the climate at risk. Environmental agencies should be skeptical and cautious when approving permits for new LNG projects. When they do approve permits, they should ensure that pollution limits meet the requirements of the Clean Air Act and the Clean Water Act. Regulatory agencies should vigorously enforce permit limits and impose significant penalties that properly reflect the gravity of violations, which is simply not happening today. Among the top findings of our report is that states and EPA have issued 15 enforcement actions over the last 5 years that have resulted in about $1 million in penalties for Clean Air Act violations. While that may sound like a lot, it's a drop in the bucket when compared to the maximum penalties allowed under law and the multi-billion dollar profits of the LNG industry. LNG terminals are significant sources of air pollution. The seven export terminals operating in 2023 reported emitting nearly 16,000 tons of air pollution, including health-damaging air pollutants like fine particulates and carbon monoxide. LNG companies also reported releasing over 18 million tons of greenhouse gases in 2023 alone, which is nearly as much climate warming pollution as an additional 4 million cars and trucks driven for a year. Furthermore, LNG terminals regularly report malfunctions, accidents, and emission events. The five LNG terminals operating along the Gulf Coast at the end of 2024 reported 425 malfunctions or upsets since their startup that released over 14,000 tons of air pollution, including the carcinogen benzene. Our research found that instead of fining polluters, states sometimes amend the permits for LNG terminals, allowing them to legally release even more air pollution. After violations of the Sabine Pass, Calcasieu Pass, and Corpus Christi LNG terminals, regulators in Texas and Louisiana amended these facilities' Clean Air Act permits to allow them to emit an additional 3,500 tons of health-damaging criteria air pollutants and an additional 5 million tons of greenhouse gases every year. For reference, that is as much air pollution as a brand new LNG export terminal. Our research also found that in the last 5 years, five of the seven LNG terminals we examined in this report violated their water pollution control permits at least once, collectively exceeding limits 69 times for pollutants including oil and grease, suspended solids, zinc, copper, and bacteria. Pollution from the LNG industry is only expected to grow as the industry expands. According to our review of publicly available permit records, if just 22 of the 33 LNG export projects that are currently proposed are built, they could emit an additional 80 million tons of greenhouse gases. That's as much as an additional 17 million cars and trucks being added to our roads and highways. They could also release nearly 100,000 tons of health-damaging criteria air pollution every year, threatening the health of everyone living downwind. The risks caused by inadequate oversight of the LNG industry can be seen in the harmed Gulf Coast communities profiled in EIP's report. The examples include the fire and explosion that shut down the Freeport LNG terminal in Texas in 2022, and more recently, flaring and pollution releases that have caused disruption to local residents and shrimpers from the Venture Global Calcasieu Pass LNG terminal in Cameron, Louisiana. Beyond these environmental impacts, it should also be noted that the reckless expansion of the liquefied natural gas industry is likely to hurt everyday Americans because the gas that we could be using to heat American homes and help local businesses is instead being sold overseas. This conclusion has been repeatedly upheld by the government's leading forecasting agencies. Last year, the U.S. Department of Energy concluded that increased LNG exports could increase domestic natural gas prices by over 30%. Many LNG export projects are also supported by hundreds of millions of dollars in local tax breaks, meaning that public schools and vital services are deprived of the taxpayer funding they need and deserve. We're going to hear more from local speakers that have been affected by the LNG buildout in just a moment, but before I pass the mic, I would like to highlight a few facts and figures from our report about the environmental compliance records of specific LNG export terminals. First, the Sabine Pass LNG terminal in Southwest Louisiana has been in non-compliance with the Clean Air Act every quarter for the last 3 years and has been in significant non-compliance with the Clean Water Act for eight of the past 12 quarters. The Corpus Christi LNG terminal, which is owned by the same company, Cheniere Energy, has exceeded limits for multiple pollutants hundreds of times since starting up in 2018. Despite the company's poor track record with environmental compliance, Cheniere is planning a major expansion in Sabine Pass and two major expansions in Corpus Christi, which could add nearly 50 million tons of export capacity. In neighboring Louisiana, Venture Global's Calcasieu Pass LNG terminal in Cameron Parish has been in non-compliance with the Clean Air Act since it began operating in 2022. The company reported 233 permit deviations just between 2022 and 2024, each deviation potentially representing multiple violations of the Clean Air Act, meaning that this facility has potentially violated the Clean Air Act thousands of times in its first 2 years of operation. It is also a major polluter of greenhouse gases and health-damaging air pollutants, just like every other LNG export terminal operating today. Despite this record, Venture Global is planning to build two new LNG terminals in the small community of Cameron, as well as a major expansion in Plaquemines that could add nearly 95 million tons of additional liquefaction capacity to the company's portfolio. Finally, the Cameron LNG terminal, located just upstream from Calcasieu Pass LNG, has been in significant non-compliance with the Clean Air Act for 11 out of the past 12 quarters, according to EIP's review of state and EPA records. The company reported at least 89 pollution release incidents between January 2019 and May 2025 that emitted thousands of pounds of benzene, a known carcinogen. Despite this record, it is also planning a major expansion. We question whether government permits for all these expansions are deserved, considering the terrible environmental track record of these companies. Enough is enough. People who live downwind and downstream from LNG terminals deserve to have their health and quality of life protected. State environmental agencies and the EPA need to step up and do more to protect local residents and the global climate. Thank you. Tom?
Thank you. That was Alexandra Shakovich, Research Manager for the Environmental Integrity Project and author of the report. Reporters, we'd love to get your questions. Look on the bottom of your screen for the Q&A tab. And if as we go along you have a question, please click on that, put your name in there, say, I have a question, and then we'll start racking up the questions for the Q&A session. Next, we have Melanie Oldham, Director of Better Resoria in Texas, near the Freeport LNG terminal. Go ahead, Melanie.
Hello, you all. I'm Melanie Oldham. I'm a healthcare professional and I'm director of Better Brazoria Clean Air and Water. We're a frontline community organization that's in Freeport, Texas, and we are an environmental justice low-income community, about 12,000 people. Also, I and my community live just a matter of a few miles from the Freeport LNG liquefaction plant on Quintana Island. And then on the other side of Freeport is the Freeport LNG pretreatment plant. Not to mention the 42-inch LNG gas and LNG pipelines that go all through our area. The LNG industry has a poor track record of complying with its air and water pollution control permits, as well as ongoing safety issues, making LNG terminals very risky. In our community, we know firsthand about all the Freeport LNG safety concerns. The Quintana Freeport communities, on June 8, 2022, Freeport LNG had a 450-foot high vapor cloud explosion that in Freeport we heard and saw. And this terrified a lot of people in my community because we didn't know what it was at first. Also, we were more worried after we finally, the public got a copy of the investigation report and pointed out the root causes of that terrible explosion and fire that released a lot of toxic emissions, which we later learned from the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality released carbon monoxide, nitrogen oxides, propane, butanes, ethylene, benzene, sulfur dioxide, and a massive amount of methane. So the root causes that we found that caused the Freeport LNG fire and explosion were one thing, they were short. 94 employees short of LNG operators, which is a big issue across all the six LNGs in the US. Also, they had poor Freeport LNG management. They always put profit before people. At that, when the explosion happened, Freeport LNG managers were sending 70% of their LNG as quick as they could to Europe. And they knew for 5 days that a pipe was overpressurizing. But at the end, the pipe overpressurized, which they had had trouble with their pipes before and caused the explosion and fire. And the other thing we found out was that Freeport LNG and the other US LNGs have minimal oversight, which is frightening to us. Actually, after the explosion, we have never ever been able to have a public meeting with Freeport LNG management, but we did have people come down for a couple of years from the Pipeline Hazardous Material Safety Administration and also FERC, which is the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. And we found out, and they even told us that they have a lack of enough investigators and engineers to inspect these LNG plants on a regular basis. And so that is something that we were worried about when we heard all these root causes. Also, I read the EIP article, and it shows that all seven of the US LNG export terminals that were fully operational at the end of 2024 violated the Clean Air Act many times over the last 5 years, including Freeport LNG, which is again near Freeport, Texas. Again, after the explosion, Freeport LNG was shut down for 8 months, but as soon as they opened up, they started having incidents and upsets multiple times. According to the Neighborhood Witness, which I follow, which is actually an organization set up in 2016 by Environmental Texas, Air Alliance in Houston, EIP, Public Citizen, and Sierra Club. It's a coalition that makes it easier for us, the public, Texans, living near a petrochemical plant or an LNG, to monitor and find out the violations. What I and others in my group found about Freeport LNG, that the week that they opened in 2019, that whole year they had 24 incidents. 2020, they had 33 incidents. 2021, 40. And then in 2022, which was the year that they had the terrible explosion fire, they had again 22 incidents. So when they reopened finally in 2023, and supposedly they had made them do all these improvements, they have continued to have incidents with 25 in 2023, 28 in 2024 incidents. And also now, 2025, they've already had 29 incidents, with the last one being last week, 10, 22, 25. This is every time they have these incidents, they have shutdown startups because Freeport LNG has the electric motors. Every time there's a outage of power or a hurricane like that hit us in last July, they release a massive amount of toxic emissions and methane. So, you ask, why is my community concerned about all these incidents, LNG toxic emissions? In Southern Brazoria County, Freeport, Texas, we're just an hour south of Houston, there is a toxic emission soup in our air. We have high cancer rates. In 2018, I helped the Texas Department of State Health do a cancer cluster study in Southern Brazoria County. And unfortunately, we have eight types of cancer, higher than to be expected. Also, in addition, we have respiratory problems, so many children with asthma, elderly, well, I say in their 50s and 60s with severe COPD, heart problems, and other health problems. All of us frontline communities near LNG export terminals appreciate EIP writing this article and anybody that covers the story to get this information about LNG plants terminals and the air pollution that they emit on a regular basis, as well as it causes our many health problems in our communities. So thank you for listening.
Thank you very much. That was Melanie Oldham, director of Better Brazoria in Texas, south of Houston. Next, we'll have John Allaire, retired oil and gas industry engineer who lives across the Calcasieu River near the Calcasieu Pass LNG terminal in Cameron in southwest Louisiana, and right next to a proposed new LNG terminal, the Commonwealth LNG project. Go ahead, John.
Thank you, Tom, and thanks to members of the press that are on the call today. We'll start with I bought a pristine tract of land down in Cameron Parish back in 1998, and that's where I raised my kids. Here's one little picture of one of the ponds out front. This area is a mixture of chenier, which are ancient dune fronts that have trees growing on them, and then you have ponds in between and floating marsh. And then my property boundaries up on the Gulf of Mexico, so we have shoreline areas there. So, as I said, for the last 27 years, that has been my residence in Cameron Parish. Again, my three children grew up there. Initially camping, but then we constructed a house in the early 2000s, and so they grew up there fishing, hunting, camping, stargazing, campfiring, getting to appreciate nature. These estuaries that we see, this is the area where Commonwealth, it flipped a little quick. There's the area. That's a chenier, that ridge you see with the trees on it. And then there's the estuaries where the juvenile shrimp and crabs and fish, this is where the eggs come in and they spawn there. And then as they get big enough, they migrate out to the Calcasieu River and, provide the seafood that Cameron Parish is known for. But the Commonwealth has leased this property right next to me. And they're 750 feet. Their flares will be from my property line, but they plan to bring in 1.4 million cubic yards of fill, knock these trees down, and backfill the whole area, backfill this entire estuary. And I mean, these estuaries support deer, otters, bobcats, alligators, raccoons, along with hundreds of species of birds, marsh wading shorebirds. The ones that migrate every winter. So this is the area that we're trying to protect, and this is the area that Venture Global would like to, or Commonwealth wants to backfill. You heard about Sasha mentioned Venture Global. Now, Venture Global, the loading docks are 1 mile almost exactly from my residence here in Cameron Parish. So I'm kind of in the I live in the eye of this LNG hurricane. Of the 33 facilities that Sasha mentioned, nine of them were within 30 miles of me. I'm surrounded on all sides. The private one I get to witness the most is Venture Global, which is, like I said, a mile away. And CP2, Venture Global CP3 are 1.2 miles away from me. There's some family pictures of the beachfront. There's my daughter holding up some ducks we were proud to get last year. This is some of the fishing that my kids grew up doing on the beach. That's family and friends there on the beachfront. Oh, and there's one of my hunting dogs. But this is what it looks like. This picture was taken from my patio at my residence there in Cameron Parish. And I have hundreds of photographs of Venture Global flaring with you can see the black sooty emissions. That's the particulate matter. Yeah, go to that next one. That's what it looks like from my patio at night. So the serene stargazing is kind of a thing of the past in Cameron Parish. So again, I have three operating facilities within 30 miles of me, the Exxon Mobil, facility is undergoing commissioning right now. I have two under construction within 15 to 20 miles of me, and three with approved permits. So it's not the same coastal wetland estuary that it used to be. We're constantly on and off flaring, thousands of permit violations. The ones they report, the 233 incidents, those go on for some of those went on for multiple days and had multiple components of pollution, whether it was toxic air pollution or hazardous air pollution. There's another photo of their marine flare from my patio. That's some of the overlooking some of the marshland. In between me and Venture Global is where Commonwealth will be is proposing to build their facility. So, thank you for your time today, and I'd be glad to answer any questions and provide any backup or photographs that people would like to look at to see what I see on almost a daily basis in Cameron Parish, Louisiana.
Thank you, John. That was John Allaire, retired oil and gas industry engineer. And next, we have Rhiannon Scott, executive director of the Texas-based Coastal Watch Association near the Corpus Christi LNG terminal. Go ahead, Rhiannon.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for having me this morning. As Tom said, my name is Rhiannon Scott. I'm the Executive Director for Coastal Watch Association. I live and work here in the Coastal Bend region. Like many of my neighbors, I've witnessed firsthand how the sky lights up from the LNG flares, like you just heard from John. They burn day and night. These massive flames aren't miles away. They're within the sight of our homes and schools, interrupting sleep, rattling windows, and filling the air we breathe with smoke and soot. This impacts our community. What is happening here isn't progress, it's pollution. Corpus Christi LNG has become one of the largest polluters in South Texas, and rather than improving conditions, its expansion plans are making things worse. For local families, this means more toxic air, more sleepless nights, and a greater risk to children, elders, and others with asthma or heart disease. People in Gregory, Portland, and Ingleside, which are two small towns near Corpus Christi, Texas, are already reporting week-long flaring events that light up the sky, making some residents leave their homes just to escape the noise, the light, and the fumes. Cheniere has notified Texas Commission on Environmental Quality, TCEQ, that it will be flaring for up to 365 days. This started on August 11th of this year. It is the startup of their seventh liquefaction unit. But here's what they don't say publicly. Those emissions aren't even counted in their permitted totals. That means an entire year of unaccounted pollution released without real oversight. Flaring releases benzene, soot, carbon monoxide, sulfur dioxide, and a massive amount of greenhouse gases, all of which harm our lungs, our water, and our planet. Over the last 5 years, the Corpus Christi terminal has had 59 air pollutant upset incidences, releasing 7,605 tons of pollutants, nine water pollution violations, and in 2023, TCEQ penalty of 114,000, I'm sorry, 114,750, which is a company paid, the company only paid 40% of. Instead of holding them accountable, the state has actually made it easier for them to pollute. TCEQ approved three permit amendments that together allow 2.1 million additional tons of greenhouse gases every year and continue to harm and increase other harmful emissions by 60%. Despite all of this, there's no continuous air monitors near Ingleside or Gregory, Portland, or the surrounding areas. Coastal Watch Association has had to take it upon ourselves to partner with other organizations and universities to bring air monitors into our community, which are not admissible against TCEQ and EPA because they're not their specific air monitors. And these organizations are not required to have air monitors either. So the public has no real-time air quality data other than the data that we are providing for them. We are left breathing whatever comes our way, flying blind while the industry profits at our expense. When violations occur, regulators respond not with penalties or pollution controls, but they raise the legal pollution limits. It is a system that rewards noncompliance and leaves residents unprotected. And now Cheniere wants to double its capacity, adding more tanks, more pipelines, and more pollution to the Coastal Bend. This rapid LNG build-out doesn't benefit our communities. It raises domestic gas prices, diverts local tax revenue through abatements, and adds industrial traffic that damages our bays, seagrasses, and marine habitats. Our communities deserve accurate monitoring, meaningful penalties, and a halt to expansions until compliance is proven. We are not against jobs or progress. We're for clean air, safe water, and a future where growth doesn't come at a cost of our health. Until LNG operators can operate responsibly and transparently, Texas should say no to more expansions. Thank you for your time and your support. Back to you,
Thank
Tom.
you. That was Rhiannon Scott, Executive Director of the Coastal Watch Association of Texas. We're going to have one more speaker and then open up to questions from reporters in a Q&A session. Reporters, we'd love to get your questions. Look at the bottom of your screen for the Q&A tab. Click on that, put your name in there, say, I have a question, and we'll get you lined up to ask our panelists questions. I see Sean Riley has a question in there. Thank you, Sean. Other reporters, we'd love to get your questions as well. Our final speaker is James Hyatt, Executive Director of For a Better Bayou in Louisiana. Go ahead, James.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thanks, Tom and EIP, for putting this report together. I am a former refinery operator. My father retired from an oil refinery here in Lake Charles, and my grandfather retired from a pipeline company. So, that is to say that we already have an overabundance of petrochemical and oil and gas infrastructure in this state. And the idea that we can continue building out these export terminals, all of this gas is for export at the expense and continued unaccountability of companies for the harms that they cause to local communities and to people's health and livelihoods. A report shows that the premature death and suffering, the disease and sickness that is associated, known sickness associated with the emissions that these plants are putting out, should have our government working for the people and making sure that every best available control technology is used. And that's not being done. They're not even being held accountable, as this report clearly demonstrates, all along the Gulf Coast. We also heard that there's an energy emergency, apparently, from the president. And it doesn't make any sense if we have an energy emergency that we should be exporting our natural resources to the highest bidder with absolutely no benefit to community and only harm. The limited amount of jobs that are associated with the operation of these terminals and the massive tax exemptions that are given to these terminals and these companies should cause concern for everyone. We live in a place that has seen hurricanes, stronger storms, more frequently and stronger. This picture behind me actually is not too far from John's place. I can't get out the way enough, but there's two shrimp boats that were washed ashore after Hurricane Rita in 2005. These two shrimp boats are still on the property where they want to build Commonwealth LNG. Since 2005, we've had storm after storm, to the point that it is unaffordable for the insurance for people who live here, because we do not have the coastal protection of levees, and the wetlands that we do have are consistently being filled in by these buildouts. One other point I'd really love to make is that there are no air monitors in Cameron Parish, and every single one of these incidents that are being reported have been self-reported by the terminals themselves, by the companies themselves. So whether they're underreporting, that is a good question to know, because the government that is supposed to be regulating this industry has been asleep at the wheel, and instead of actually holding them accountable, they have continued to just rubber stamp permits that allow for more and more harm. In August, actually in late July of this year, while they were building Venture Global CP2, Because the company prioritizes speed over safety, they prioritize speed over stewardship, they were dredging the loop, and they pushed too much mud into the place where it was supposed to be contained. And that mud leaked out into the waters of the United States, into the fishing grounds on top of oyster reefs and smothered oyster reefs. And Venture Global, for over a month, continued to deny that any of their activity had caused any harm. We work a lot with the shrimpers. I am not a shrimper, but we work closely with these residents who live in Cameron, the folks who live in the town of Cameron, less than a mile from these terminals, are mostly fishermen. And they depend on this waterway. They depend on the health of our ecosystem. We are all dependent upon the ecosystem, whether we know that or not. And to see that the company willingly, knowingly, almost intentionally caused harm and then denied it is another symptom of a regulatory apparatus that does not work to protect the people. We saw a lot of the flaring. We've heard a lot about flaring. But it's important to know that these terminals are releasing toxic air pollutants every minute of the day. Legal permitted releases and emissions that you can only see if you have an optical gas imaging camera, which we have seen at all of these terminals. Even without a flare, they are emitting tons and tons of pollution that cause suffering and disease. I think it's important to know that the community has not been engaged. On August 17th, Venture Global Calcasieu Pass actually had a fire that raged for 24 minutes. 260 gallons of a lube oil was spilled. None of the residents were informed at all, and only because it was reported to the National Response Center did anybody find out months later. That is unacceptable. And our government, the regulatory apparatus that is supposed to be protecting people and the environment and our communities, have instead deferred to these companies time and time again. This report should be alarming to everyone. And anybody who wants to continue building out these things must know that the government is not working for the people. They are working for the industry hand in hand. And that is unacceptable. On a place that we have seen climate impacts, stronger storms, erosion. I mean, the coast is eroding. Louisiana loses a football field every 100 minutes. That statistic probably needs to be updated. The reality is that we cannot afford to continue down a pathway that leads to just destruction and suffering for the community that does not actually have any benefit except for the shareholders and the profit makers and those profiteers from elsewhere. They do not pour into our community. What they pour into our community is pollution and suffering and disease and death. And that's unacceptable. To see a fisherman whose livelihoods are being absolutely taken from them, they have received their catches have gone down over 50%. It's also highlighted in this report. At what point is enough enough? And when can we expect the government to actually work for we the people and not just for corporations? On a false promise of jobs, on a false promise of prosperity. I invite all of you to come down and take a look at any of these coastal communities, and especially Cameron, where we have not seen prosperity. Instead, we have seen suffering. Enough is enough, and what we need is for the government and the regulatory apparatus to actually hold these companies accountable and responsible for the harms they cause. And we need these companies to actually be good neighbors and not to continue causing suffering in the communities in which they operate. I'll stop there and appreciate
Thank
y'all's
you.
time.
Thank you very much. That was James Hyatt, Executive Director of For a Better Bayou in Louisiana. Now we're going to open it up to questions from reporters.